Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
My name's Ruben Nava, my partner Jesse Romero. We make up Jesus 911 Tuesdays and Thursdays. Today we have a special guest.
Ruben, you're not coming on. Let me just jump in until something's the matter with the microphone on your side. Jesus 911, my name's Jess Romero, two-man car. We got a special guest today. It's always beautiful to see the way the Lord takes a person who's been steeped in a life of sin and darkness and brings them to the wonderful light of Christ. And we call that an interior conversion. That's what it's called in Catholicism, an interior conversion. And by the way, once it starts, the goal is that that conversion continues until we die. We want to get to the point where we're so converted, so united to Jesus Christ, that all we want to do is what he wants us to do. That's called the unitive aspect of Christianity. But it starts with that initial burst called a metanoia, that initial conversion. And you're going to hear a story today. Ruben, go ahead and talk. Let me see if I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I can hear you now. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, you're back on.
All right.
Yeah. So you got Vigilmos prayer, Ruben?
Yes, I do. Okay. This is a prayer composed by Archbishop Cardinal Maria Vigano. And it goes, Almighty, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Almighty and eternal God, King of kings and Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good in respect for your holy law. Protect those who, defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in your hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us together with his most holy mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those who in spiritual combat fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America so that aware of his responsibilities and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praises rise to you. O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Okay, I want to tell you, I'm really happy to announce that we have a special guest today. It's sitting next to me, a young man by the name of Wayne Schroeder. No relation to the actor Schroeder. Anyway, we're going to be talking about his conversion. Wayne did a lengthy sentence in prison, and we'll get into that. But he's fighting a new battle now. He's on Team Jesus now, Jesse. He's in love with church and in love with Mother Mary, and he's fighting the good fight, and I'm happy to call him a brother. And so, Wayne, welcome to the show. God bless you.
Morning.
Morning.
Wayne, let me just mention something before you start. We want to hear your story. But in today's gospel, in the ordinary rite, it reminds me of what you're about to share with us, because there was a woman who was a scarlet woman, a sinful woman, and she goes to Jesus and asks Jesus basically to forgive her. And I like what it says here. It says, our Lord says, "So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love." I mean, he used her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. And it says, "But to one whom little is forgiven, loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven." Wayne, I think what we're about to hear from you is your love for God is because of where you come from, because a lot has been forgiven in your past, and you know that. And I think that's why your love for God is so intense and so genuine, because you, just like the woman in today's gospel, in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, Jesus forgave a lot of her. She had a huge past. And because he forgave her, her love for Jesus was exponentially very great as well. So having said that, Wayne, welcome to the show, and Ruben, take it away.
All right. Yeah, I met Wayne here at the studio. He's, you know, he's living on the grounds here, and struck up a friendship with Wayne, and we started talking, and I thought, man, this his story would be great for radio, and maybe a motion picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so Wayne, let's just talk about your upbringing. You know, where'd you grow up? Did you grow up at, you know, in a single family home, or, you know, both parents? Were you a cradle Catholic?
So
what was it like growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I was born and raised right here in West Covina, close to La Puente. Yeah, so I grew up in a home of fallen away Catholics. A single mom. My father wasn't in the picture. So majority of the time, my grandmother took care of us. Yeah.
Okay. So you, in your upbringing, you didn't recall going to mass and making your sacraments as a child?
No, I remember. My mother tells me that I was baptized at Queen of Angels.
Okay.
Yeah, in downtown, okay, off of Main, and I remember going to different Protestant when I was like a little older,
uh-huh,
but never nothing but the Catholic Church.
Okay. Now, did you go to high school locally and finish high school here?
Yeah, so I went to high school in West Covina High School, but I got my credits when I was in juvenile hall and camp and stuff.
Okay, so at some point you started hanging out with some bad crowd, and it had an effect on you?
Yeah, you can say that. So, like, I mean, I grew up, and my home was really, like, it wasn't really the healthiest. My grandma's was the one that really showed us love, mm-hmm, you know, was really there for us. But, you know, without that male figure in our house, running wild, you know, my mom trying to take care of two wild, yeah, crazy boys, you know. Yeah.
So were the gangs were enticing to you when you were growing up?
Yeah, so.
And you don't have to mention the name of the gang, but,
yeah,
you know, but just, you know.
Yeah, I guess the gang life, you know, the homies on the streets, you know, they showed us love. You know, they're willing to be there for you. You know, I mean, it shows that we're made for companionship, communion, and that they're presenting that. You know, if no one else is presenting that, then that's what you're going to gravitate to. So, mm-hmm, as a kid, like, I didn't know any better, so I gravitated towards that.
Mm-hmm. So your role models were guys that were steeped in the gang culture, gang lifestyle. Then,
absolutely,
yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And so, at what point did you? You remember getting in trouble for the first time with the law?
So, first time, like petty stuff, like stealing and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I brought a knife to school that I got in trouble and I was put on probation. And then eventually I violated that probation and I went to juvenile camp. Mm-hmm. I got sentenced to a 4 to 6 month camp term that turned into 2 years and 2 months. So, mm-hmm, that was like, yeah, that was a crazy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... At that point, you were getting more deeper indoctrinated into the gang culture and the politics that go and get involved in being incarcerated.
Yeah, so like in juvenile hall and camp, I was representing my neighborhood. I didn't get jumped in until I got out of camp, but yeah, I was representing it while I was there. You know, fighting a lot. You know, all that. You know, mm-hmm, what it comes with the, yeah, representing a neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. Just so the audience knows, because with a name like Schroeder, and you don't look Hispanic.
Yeah, right. Well,
do you speak Spanish or
Unfortunately, I don't. It's my parents, my mom, and they didn't speak Spanish to us. All my aunts and uncles, my grandma, they all speak Spanish, but they didn't speak to the next generation. Yeah,
but so your mom's is Hispanic and your dad's is German? Or?
Actually, that's my stepfather. My dad was never in the picture. My dad, okay, my stepfather, he pretty much, he named me, and all that, but he took off when I was 3, so I don't really know him either. So,
okay,
yeah,
yeah. So it's what we talk about all the time, right, Jesse? That absent father, you know, he's not in the home. It's he plays a big part, even if the mother is going to church. In this case, it wasn't the case. But,
Ruben, I'll tell you, there's a woundedness there, and that's why, again, just like Wayne is talking about,
yeah,
that woundedness was filled by other homies, other other guys in the streets and stuff that are, they become like the surrogate fathers, the patriot, the surrogate father figures out there, because again, every boy is looking for that male figure. And Wayne is a classic case of what happens of the psychology of a young guy that grows up without a father. They gravitate right out of the church and into the gang life.
Yeah.
This is classic. You could write a book on this.
So Wayne, and so as you got older, did the types of crimes that you were committing, did they elevate to more seriousness?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention stuff online, but
yeah.
Yeah, it just got very ugly, really, really ugly. By the time I got out, I was 17 years old, running crazy in the streets, angry at the world, willing to just, I didn't care about anything. I didn't care about my life. I didn't care about nothing. By the time I turned 18, we tried to hit up a rival gang member, and we tried to kill him. And so I ended up getting incarcerated for attempted murder by the time I was 18. And I was sentenced to 13 with 85. I ended up catching 4 more years for being violent inside there. So I ended up doing 15 years of my life in prison.
So 13 with 85, 13 years since, and doing 85% is what he's talking about. Jesse?
Yep, you've been listening to Jesus 911, two-man car. Ruben Nava, my name, Jesse Romero. We've got Wayne Schroeder. We're talking about the classic steps of somebody that grows up without the patriarch at home. What happens? But thanks be to God, Jesus is able to pull everybody out. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Ruben Alva, Jess Romero. We've got Wayne Schroeder, a brother in Christ. Probably years ago, Wayne probably would have had a strong dislike for myself and Ruben, but this is what Christ does when Christ comes into the life of any human person. The Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, he can take a person whose heart is black and fill it with light and love and truth. And so, Wayne, go ahead and continue. Let's pick up where you left off.
Yeah, he was. We were talking about, so he picked up a pretty serious case where he got sent to prison. And so, what was in prison? What's your experience like? That the politics that go on in there, and just to, you know, and take a minute to tell the audience what it really is like in prison.
You know, in prison, it's a whole different world. You know, everything is upside down. You know, what's considered righteous is wicked, and what's considered wicked is righteous. You know, I remember like terminology. We were like, oh, that's a righteous homie because he stabbed a bunch of dudes. You know how it's backwards. You know, you know. I mean, the politics in there is absolutely insane. It's like
you have to pick a side.
Yeah, you have to roll with somebody. You can't just roll by yourself. You have the Sureños, you have Norteños, you have the Crips, the Bloods, then you have the Border Brothers. And stuff like that. So, and it's extremely racist in there. It's everything is race orientated. You right. know?
So as a Hispanic, you can't hang with the black guys.
No, you can't even like share a cup of a coffee with someone with that opposite.
Yeah, that's it's a whole different world in there. And you know, I'm going to tell you just a quick story that Jesse and I interviewed a guy by the name of Damon West. He did time in prison in Dallas for a series of burglaries. And it was interesting because when he was about to be, we say he's going to catch the chain, go from county jail to state prison.
Right.
He was talking to a sage in there, a wise older black man, and said, what's it going to be like to go to prison? And the older black man said, it's prison's going to be like a pot of boiling water. He goes, you put three things in it, a carrot, a potato, and a coffee bean. What happens? And he goes through a series of explanations of what happens. You know, he says if you put a potato in there, a carrot in there, it's going to get soft. He says, you can't become like that carrot, go in hard and come in soft, because that's, you get raped and robbed and beaten and maybe killed. He said, you can't be not the potato, it's an egg. He says, you put an egg, what happens? It becomes hard boiled. So it goes in hard and it gets even harder. And he says, you can't be that hard-boiled egg because you're not capable of giving and receiving love. And he says, now what happens with that coffee bean when it goes in there? And what it does is it changes the water to coffee. You have to rename it coffee because it changes its environment that it goes in there. So that was his explanation of what it's going to be like. It's a pot of boiling water, and what you do with your environment is going to dictate how, you know, your response, you know, the response to you and how you live in there.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. When you told me that, and I was like, wow, that's so true. You know, you either become afraid and weak and you get used and then or you become hard, and just, there's no, you just shut your emotions off, shut everything off. You just don't care. Or you can change things. And I think the latter is the hardest because that takes work inside. That takes for us, you first to change before you can change anything. Okay. Yeah.
So how old were you when you went in?
I was 18 years old. Right away, you know, I got involved with, you know, with the politics. You know, homies, we got to do things. There was one, the incident that got me more time was it was a big homie that came because they go straight to ADSEG, which is a administrative segregation unit, right? Because that's their reception. You know, they don't go to the line or reception because they're highly violent, right? So they had sent word to a guy who got out of ADSEG to us and said they needed, there's a guy that was no good from a neighborhood that needed to be taken out, and they needed weapons back there. So I had been porter that night, and so we got all the, we call them wheelas, which are little pieces of paper where we write very, very small on it.
Like
all
kites.
The information. Yeah, kites. So we... that night, I would take it to the different buildings I needed to be taken to. So we were going right when we were in the rotunda, right where the we deliver the trays. I had passed the kite to one of the homies, and the CO, he had seen, and he just rushed the homie. And so for him to get, so he put it in his mouth, and for to give him time to swallow it, I began to swing on the cop. the CO, correction officer.
Hey, you didn't tell me that yesterday.
Yeah. Oh boy, we got some stories to tell then, brother. No, yeah, ended up fighting him, and then turned around. The batons came out. And they got really ugly, but I gave him a chance to swallow it. But we ended up going back to ADSEC as well. So I ended up getting charged with that, and they gave me 4 years for that. So
wow.
So.
So, but so you got a little lumped up as well, right?
Of course, yeah.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Okay, where was God in all of this? I mean, was there a notion of God in your heart? Did you grow up with as a Catholic? I mean, did you ever think about God when you were in the joint, committing crimes, or was your conscience just like dull, or just like it was just checked out?
No, I mean, I believed in God, but I didn't know who this was. I knew there was a God. But and even in my mentality, in my sick mentality, I'll be like making jokes and like cursing God. I would say stupid things like, yeah, I don't even want to repeat it. Cause,
right.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, I would. So, I mean, I believe that there was a higher power, but I didn't believe.
Got it.
I didn't know who, what this was.
Right.
Yeah.
And so were the like the Garnadas, the big homies, they trying to recruit you to, you know, to put in work to maybe make a name for yourself, or what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, when at the end of the day, when you realize you're just a pawn, you know, when I finally went back to the Corcoran Shoe, which is like a prison within a prison, I spent 3 years in the shoe. From that, I continued making different possession of weapon, hiding drugs, different things in ADSEC, just doing a lot of stuff for the homies. I end up going to Corcoran Shoe. That's like, you know, lockdown, slam down 24/7. Maybe get to go to the yard every 3-4 days for 1 hour. But yeah, that's when I really realized that these dudes don't care about us. Yeah. All they care is about their drugs and their money. And they're talking about the raza this, the raza that. But while their kids are lawyers, trying to get going to school, becoming doctors and lawyers and stuff, and we're over here fighting for a cause that has no cause, you know, it's like what are we fighting for? But it wasn't until I was back there. It was like, you know, Wizard of Oz, the wizard behind the curtain. You get to see what was behind the curtain, you know?
You know, my experience with a lot of guys that are doing long-term prison sentences, they become readers. You know, a lot of them, they go through books like we, you know, people go through a Netflix series or something. So did you turn to reading?
Oh, definitely. I like to say my first encounter with grace was an encounter with literature, or with an encounter of beauty. You know, when I was a stupid kid, so I didn't really know how to read or write. I couldn't even say end a sentence without saying "and shit." Excuse me, but that, I mean, that I couldn't end a sentence without saying that. My vocabulary was horrible, and but I knew so the homies would encourage me to educate myself. So I picked up a book and a dictionary, because reading at first was tedious for me, even though I graduated. Eventually I got a hang of it, and I just fell in love with literature. I fell in love with poetry, philosophy, anything I can get my hands, I just ate it up. And, eventually, art, and I just really fell in love with the arts, you know, and, that's when the thought came on my mind. Like the world was so much bigger than the world that I was living in, and that, and then the thought came to my mind, like, what the heck am I giving my life to? You know,
how old were you at this point?
I believe I was 19, almost turned 20.
Okay. Did you have visitors come see you, or?
Very rarely. Very rarely, because, I mean,
it's a long way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Over the 15 years, I maybe got 4-5 visits. I can count the visits on my hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. When I was in there, I just shut off the whole thing with the family, all that, because this was my life that I was living. I had to survive, you know?
Was your thought that you were going to probably be like a lifer, like in and out?
Well, that's the whole thing. The whole idea is like, this is what you're representing. This is what you're giving your life to. So it's for life. But, you know, there's nothing else but this, you know. And as a kid, you know, I don't have an alternative. I don't know anything else. So this is what this is what my life is. This is what it looks like, you know. This is what it is to be a man, you know.
Right. Yeah. So what was your turning point did you go to a church service, or how did you become start reading about the Lord and start learning about it and asking the Lord in your heart?
So, like, eventually when I got out the shoe, because I went to the shoe in 2003. I got out in 2006, February 2006, and I went to the Lion in Delano. And So still involved with a lot of stupidness, you know, like, but at this time, like, I'm starting to use my head now because I know I discovered logic and reason, you know, you can actually use this thing up here and it works. I was still in like drugs and all that stuff. But I remember about February, January, March 2006, I just remember being just feeling sick and tired of the violence, of the perversion, of the drugs, just the sick, really sick and tired. I couldn't account for what I was feeling at the time. And I remember getting up really early in the morning. My cellie was asleep in the bottom bunk. And we have a curtain that separates the bunks from the toilet because they're so close together.
Yeah.
So I remember just closing the curtain, and I went on my knees next to the toilet. And as soon as I had my knees hit the ground, the Lord quickened my mind of everything I'd done wrong. And I began to like just really just cry out to Him and ask for forgiveness for the things I've done. So I was on my knees for a very long time. So after that, I remember like just feeling like, I don't know.
A weight
lifted you? Yeah, but I remember just crying myself to sleep for 3 nights. Mm-hmm. 3 nights I would just cry myself to sleep. And
prison, you can't show crying.
So it was at nighttime when I was being emotional, right? Yeah. But I remember the only prayers that I remember were the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And I began to repay those over and over and over. And at this time, I knew my mind desired the truth. And I knew that if I didn't possess the truth, my mind would never be satisfied. So the only thing that I can relate to God were the sacred scriptures. So I picked up the Bible and began to read it every day. Sometimes I wouldn't go to the yard. I would just read it. And then when I discovered that Jesus, that the truth wasn't a concept or idea, but a person, that changed everything for me. That was like, my goodness, the truth is a person. That blew my mind when Jesus said that I am the truth, not that there is a truth or there's a way that I want you to follow. And He said, I am the way and I am the truth. And I was like, that just changed everything for me. That just, it made the difference, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, in prison, they have different church services, right? Protestant, Catholic, Muslim. Did you start going to those?
Yeah, I went to everything. I went, not to the Muslim and everything, all that stuff. Yeah. But
you, Catholic or Protestant?
Yeah. So I went to mostly all the Protestant different denominations in the chapel, on the yard, and even the Catholic services. I just went to everything.
Awesome. All right, Jess.
You're listening to Wayne Schroeder. We're talking about his journey from darkness to light. I'm loving it here. I love to see when Jesus gets another man and hooks him at the end of the fishing pole. We'll be right back. We'll continue. Another victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't change that dial.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Slow Patrol, Psalm 42, like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God. That's exactly what I'm listening to right now from Wayne Schroeder. He realized that he was thirsty. And he went to the only place where you can get your thirst quenched, and those are the living waters of Jesus Christ and the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Wayne, continue on your story. I'm fascinated.
All right, awesome.
So at this point, Wayne, you started reading Scripture, started going to church services. Right. Was there any? Well, at this point, you don't know what you see the different denominations. What was your experience of that?
Yeah. So I mean, I began to meet these guys who are really, really love the Lord. And I would go to all the services, and towards the end of 2006, beginning of 2007, it just, one thing that would really break my heart, that these guys who I've come to respect and love, and I know they had genuine love for the Lord, they were at odds with one another in one aspect of the faith or another. You know, I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. You know, and I began to pray, like, Lord, like, you're the truth. You said that you give us the spirit of truth and that you guide us to all truth. So I begin to pray, like, Lord, show me the fullness of the truth, because this does not look like you, you know?
God's not about division, right?
Yeah, he's not a God of chaos, yeah. But of order, right? And so I begin to pray that every day, like, Lord, show me the fullness of the truth. I desire the truth. Give me the truth, you know? Because that's the thing, like I expressed before, is like the truth was everything, you know? So again, if this is not the truth, then what am I doing here, you know?
At this point, you had no Catholic books in your cell. Okay.
And really, you know, amongst our Protestant brothers, that's Catholicism is like the no-no, you know?
Yeah. Did you get any Jack Chick tracks?
Yeah, I've seen the Chick tracks too.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember at this time, like, I wanted to, because I was eating up everything of this culture, you know, like what John Paul II calls the culture of death. I just ate up everything. I drunk the poison and believed the lies. So at this time in my life, I just wanted to weed out everything. So I eliminated TV from television from my life, and I would only watch religious channels. At this time, I was watching something from EW10, and this dude pops up and talks about like the Catholic Church is the church that Christ established, starts mentioning the four pillars of the church. And I was like, wow, I never heard this before. This is like really interesting. And I'll tell the Lord, like, Lord, I want to know a little bit more about that. And the following week, sure enough, I went into the chapel. And on the left-hand side, there's a chapel library. While I was there, there was no Catholic books. At least when I was there, there was no Catholic books in the library. But the day I walked in, there was a Catechism of the Catholic Church on the top shelf. I picked that sucker up, and just like the Scriptures, I ate it up. And with every turning page, I felt it burning in my chest. And I knew this was, I know this was grace, because I begin to understand everything that's in there, like the hierarchy, the sacraments, just everything, the structure of the church and the moral life and the prayer life,
that's
everything.
Supernatural grace, absolutely. Yeah. That's all that is.
Yeah. And I really believe, because like, I mean, I understood it, you know? Yeah.
Because we spoke before a couple of days ago and yesterday. I know I had asked you about your sacraments. You were baptized Catholic, but you mentioned that you did make some sacraments in juvenile hall.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so when I was in camp, the chaplains would come in to the camps, and I didn't know what I was, Protestant, Catholic, or Muslim, whatever, but I had called my mom. And I was like, Mom, what am I? It's like, you were baptized Catholic. So I tell the deacon that would come in, it's like, well, I'm Catholic. He's like, okay. So I did my sacraments, my confirmation and First Communion when I was in juvenile hall.
Okay. Yeah. You received a confession as well?
I think so. I believe I have. I just don't remember. Okay. None of that stuff stuck. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Right. Now, in prison, so at this point, were you able to get to a priest and
not right away. Like during this time, I'm wrestling now. You know, I'm wrestling like, okay, it's like I believe these things. I've created a community of these men on the prison yard, Protestant brothers. So I'm like, and I know like there's no Catholics that know their faith or even practice if they are really true
what a shame.
Christians, you know? So as I'm wrestling with this and there was one aspect of the faith I didn't understand. It's like where Mary fit in my relationship with Christ. So one day I just said, like, Lord, I believe, I understand all this thing. I see this is the truth, but I just don't know where your mother fits in my relationship with you. So if this prayer is wrong, please forgive me. And I know it's kind of like, I believe that she has a role in the church at the time, but I just didn't know. I didn't know where she fit. So I said, if this prayer is wrong, Lord, please forgive me. I said, Mary, if you're real and you're true, because I don't know where you fit in my relationship with Christ, but if you're real and you're true, reveal yourself to me. And at that moment, I mean, I felt the presence of Christ before and the presence of the Lord before, but this was totally different. I felt Mary's presence come into my cell. It was so overwhelming. I fell asleep. I woke up in the middle of the night and her presence was still there. I mean, I couldn't even catch my breath. And wow. It felt like Our Lady was just embracing me. And I was just like, okay, all right. And
you knew she was real.
Yeah. And then the following week, I talked to the priest that would come in, and I asked him to hear my confession. And oh my goodness, at the words of absolution, I physically felt as if a bucket of water poured over my body. It was overwhelming. It was intense. Yeah.
Outstanding. That's outstanding. And then so at that point, you were able to receive communion at the services, right?
Right.
So you started doing that. Now, what kind of did you get some flack from the
oh yeah,
cellmates and
oh yeah. So again, I can attest for the Catholic books that were starting to come into the chapel library. So I would go in there, and there was this. Where do you find that in the Bible? So I would grab those because I knew I needed. Because I was praying to the Lord, it's like, okay, now I need to defend it, you know, because the brothers are going to start coming at me. So I started reading those books up, eating those books up, and I kid you not, it was total grace. I would have a discussion with all the brothers, and I just, they couldn't argue against me, you know? They didn't have the argument for it. They couldn't attest for those things being in the scriptures, like, oh, I never looked at it before, you know? And so it made me more confident because I was actually reading apologetics.
It was forcing you to study, right?
Yeah, and I had to.
And you know what happens, I'll tell you, Wayne, especially for men, it's embarrassing when you're a low-information human being. You just walk around kind of like Linus or Peanuts with a blanket, you know, just with your head down. But as a Catholic man, once you start filling the mind with truth and you start forming the intellect with solid answers, especially biblical, historical answers, it's almost like if your chest starts puffing out. I mean, your arms, your shoulders, man, you just lean back and you're saying, wow, I got a good grasp of this. I understand. But most Catholics walk around like defeated people because they don't even attempt to form the intellect. And once you form the intellect, that's everything, man. The intellect, I remember that commercial years ago about this is your brain on drugs. And they got some huevos being fried right there in a pan. Well, that's what a lot of guys, their brains are, and their soul and their intellect, it's just completely empty because they don't know Christ and his church and the doctrines of the church. So
right.
I salute you because you took this journey on yourself. It was our Lord, our Lady, just walking with you every step of the way because they basically discipled you personally. Continue.
Yeah. I think also, Jess, what was important is that he asked for the truth. The Lord will give you the truth if you sincerely seek it. You know, I don't know if it was you. I think I got this from you, but I used to say this, Jesse, you know, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do, and I will say whatever you want me to say.
It's a good prayer.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with both of you. Like, I really feel like, you know, we have the fullness of the truth, you know, and we have no excuse because it's all there, whether you're online or the books. Everything is that we can have access to our faith. So we have no excuse not to know our faith, you know. And it's so beautiful. Why wouldn't you want to study and grow in the knowledge of the one true faith, you know?
Right. You know, St. Augustine said, I think it was Aquinas, right? It said, you cannot love what you do not know. Yes. You can only love what you do know to the extent that you know it. So that's going on in your life. You know, you're falling head over heels in love with our Lord and our Lady and the church and, the Catholic gospel. And you're becoming more alive. Now, how about the politics that go on? Anything, did you get put some pressure? Did they put pressure on you to, hey, you're getting kind of soft? Because they look at religion as being, as a weakness.
Right.
Right? Did you get any flack for that?
Well, yeah. So after that, after my initial conversion, I still had like 9 years left to do in prison. So, of course, it's not easy. But once I discovered the power of Our Lady and the rosary, this thing was my weapon. I began to pray it every single day, 3 times a day, because I knew, it was not going to be easy, And sure enough, there was times where I had to fight and defend myself, But I knew that Our Lady and my guardian angels were there. I was like, I had the whole host of heaven to have my back. So, this none of them have anything on the Lord. So, of course, there's times where my heart's in my throat, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I trust in Our Lady and I trust in my guardian angels, the saints, everyone, But yeah, there was I remember when my homeboys, when I would write them and they'll tell them, I'll tell them this is what I discovered. And they'll write me back man, why are you doing this? God is a fairy tale. And it's funny too. One of the homeboys, he's high up in our neighborhood. And God's a fairy tale. And and then he started talking about the Aztecs. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? It didn't even make sense. It was just weird. And I just started, used the whole idea of apologetics where you use the Ten Commandments. And why if we have failed against them, and I used that to really talk about how we are sinners and we need God's grace,
Hey, going back to, Jesse mentioned that you probably wouldn't be sitting next to cops back in the day. What was your relationship with cops? Did you have any animosity towards them? Did you want to avoid them? Did you have any relationship with any cops?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, of course. I mean, it was us against them, right? I mean, that's the mentality.
Yeah. We're going to get... I want to ask you a couple more things about that and then how you feel now, you're sitting next to a former L.A. sheriff and Jesse, former L.A. sheriff. And
Jesus 911, we got a three-man car, Wayne Schroeder, from darkness to light. We'll continue. Don't change that dial. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
I'm sure this story is bringing a smile to your face. This makes me, once again, it just makes me proud to be Catholic. It just shows you the power of God's grace. He can even work inside a prison system and reach anybody that he desires to reach. And we're listening to the story of Wayne Schroeder. By the way, if you like what you hear, if you like these programs, then hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. But let's continue with Wayne Schroeder. Let's wrap it up. Go ahead, Wayne.
So we were talking, Jesse, about his relationship with law enforcement. He wouldn't have anything to do with us. It was you know, them against us. And you know what? I can honestly say, Wayne and Jesse, that I would tell people out there that, hey, you know, I want you to be better. I want to see you rehabilitated. You know, you would be one less person that I'd have to worry about, you know? Mm-hmm. I wanted to see them. I wished them well. I prayed for them, that those that I arrested and try to have a very cordial relationship and leave them with good thoughts and good feelings and trying to throw the faith in there. This was after I rediscovered my faith. So now, I mean, there's no animosity. Wayne's a brother, and I've never felt that way with as a Catholic Christian out there in law enforcement. You have to look at them and try to see the good in people. And we also have that it's us against them mentality as well. We end up just associating with cops, you know, because no one's going to understand what we're going through. And I always tell my friends, you know, my young soccer players now, it's not healthy just to have cops as your friends. You want to have other people in your life, you know. And so it's good. You're my brother, man.
Brother. Amen. And that's the thing too, is like I wanted to mention too, is like, look here, man, there's no way in the world that we can have two ex-cops with an ex-con sitting in the same room talking about a same subject. That's the power of Christ and what Christ can do. He can bring men together from different backgrounds, you know, because there's no way in the world what I thought that several years ago, that I would be in a brother and a friend with an ex-cop, you know. And that's just like, that's the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah. You know.
Well, we're closer, Wayne, through our reception of the Eucharist, because we become family, right? Even some as closer than our blood brothers,
yep,
that aren't receiving.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Jess, do you have a question?
Yeah. So give us the money event. What happened where you just says, you know what, man, I'm surrendering. I'm going all the way on this. I don't care what the homies say.
Yeah. Like when I finally made the decision, you know, I just, because I've always been the kind of person like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it all the way, you know, not half in, half out. You know, I'm going to, like, even when I was in the gang life, I was willing to give my life to something that was stupid, you know, and that when I discovered the truth, I was like, okay, you know, this is the truth. This is worth giving my life to. So I went all in, you know, and finally went in. I was like, whatever comes will come. That's why I had the rosary in my left hand all the time. Mm. But yeah, I mean, like I said, there was... animosity with the homies. They stopped riding me. And that's the thing too, is like, I thought these guys were my brothers and that they love me and that they're willing to do everything for me. When they just started it distanced themselves from me, that really broke my heart, because all my life I've had the experience of abandonment. You know, when I was in juvenile hall and camp, I was supposed to do the 4 to 6 months, but I ended up doing 2 years and 2 months without getting refiled on, you know, and my family didn't call like, why is he doing more time? None of that, wow. You know? And it's like all my life I felt that I experienced that being abandoned and not being forgotten, you know. And I feel like these guys who I was willing to give everything to, they started forgetting about me. They started abandoning me because I wanted to do something good with my life. So,
what year did you get out?
I got it in 2016.
Okay, and you were mentioning to me in our prior conversations that you felt like there might be a calling to the priesthood. Tell us about that.
So yeah, like right off the back too, like when I started really like this all in, I thought maybe there's a possibility that I can become a priest, be celibate all my life, and I thought, okay, maybe there's a possibility. I don't know, because all the stuff that I've done. So when I first came home, I talked to the vocation director in 2016. He's not Sam Ward now. It was a different priest. I told him, I gave him my spiel, and he's like, no, you're not called. So that just threw me for a loop. So I was like, okay, whatever.
I didn't even try to send you to discernment, go stay a weekend
he
somewhere.
He just said, no, you're not called.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. All right. So I remember the first Sunday I came to, I went to St. Christopher's the first Sunday after I came home. I remember coming out of Mass, and I was by there with a coffee and donuts, and I was just praying to the Lord, like, Lord.
You're hanging out with the cops then, huh?
Right.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I know, but at this time, because like, when I came home, I looked like the world was big. It wasn't my little 8x8 cell. And I was like, Lord, I really need something to ground me, because I feel like this is way too big. I'm going to get sucked up into everything, because everything's at my fingertips now. And as I was praying that, one of the brothers, he's from the Catholic Men's Fellowship, Edgar Mendoza, he came walking up to me, and he's like, hey, man, my name's Edgar Mendoza. We're from this Men's Fellowship right here. And I was like, hold up, bro. I just prayed about something like this, man, right now. And he's like, what? So I gave him my spill about my life. He's like, man, come. And I tell you what, after the several years that I've been home with these guys have been my true homies.
Wow.
These guys have become brothers, my friends. Some of these guys are cops, ex-cops.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Edgar's has a brother that's a friend.
Yeah,
of mine.
He's
the sheriff, lieutenant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he actually took me to my first football game when the Rams came over. That was really, really cool. Oh, I never experienced that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys poured out their love despite knowing what I've been through. You know, what I've done in my life. They just showed their love. You know, that's like I said before. That's the power of Christ. You know.
Yes, right. That's right. And then, so you continued in your search or to see right. that you had a call into the priesthood.
So yeah, I talked to Father Chris from.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, an order?
Yeah, it was an order. Okay. Yeah. So I just talked to. And he said, well, you're on parole right now, so we can't even consider this, right? So I waited, and then I got off of parole 2 years later. I was actually supposed to do 5 years on parole, but because I was kicking butt, started working in the film industry. I started doing all kinds of stuff, and they just kicked me off of – they said I was doing good. They kicked me off of parole.
Yeah.
And so at this time, I thought maybe there's a possibility. But I ended up getting – I met a woman. I got engaged eventually, and that didn't work out because, yeah, that was something else. That's, yeah. But
enough to drive you to the priesthood?
No, you know, I just say, like, it was a lot there. You know, I don't think I was ready or she was ready. And it was just, but, you know, during that time, I really grew as a human being, you know. I was working at the Carmelite with the Carmelite Sisters at the time in Alhambra, and my spiritual director was, his father, he's a Carmelite priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just go in and talk to him every day. And when I started considering the priesthood again, I was like, I don't know, because everything I've been through. So I remember just talking to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, like, okay, one of the sessions that I went in there to talk to my spiritual director, I was like, okay, if he mentions anything about the priesthood, cool. So I go in there, I talk to, we have this great session. I'm thinking he didn't say nothing, so cool. But right when the thing ends, he's like, he looks at me and says, I see the priesthood. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. So I was like, okay, like, let's see where this goes. So he started talking. He waited for a month, and then he talked to the new vocation director, Sam Ward, and the Archdiocese. He talked to him for 2 hours. When I talked to him, he said, as far as the seminary, no. He didn't give me a reason why. But So I was like, okay. So I started thinking about religious life. I talked to different communities, and because of my background, they all said no. But then I finally, my spiritual director met somebody from the Missionary Charity Fathers who are not in the States. They're in different countries. So I talked to him. It was a great conversation. He said, well, why don't you come and see? So I went to my come and see in Tijuana. And It was a great experience. I spent there 2 weeks, you know, helping the poorest of the poor, going in the canales, clothing, washing the clothes of the elderly, and picking them up, putting them on their beds, and shaving them, and just doing amazing work. And I was like, oh my goodness, these guys are just doing, they're doing the apostolic work. They're doing what Christ is calling them to do. You know, they're giving themselves to the poorest of the poor.
Purple works. Yeah,
yeah, man, it was just a beautiful thing to see and experience. And
then, you know, unfortunately, that got shut down too.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like, in the back of my mind though, I've always, the kids, man, and like I mentioned to you before, like the kids in juvenile hall, that's my constant prayer. It's like, because I know what these kids are going through, because I know these kids. But right now, that got shut down because of an accident that I got into in 2007, and it seems like I'm on summary probation still, so.
You can't leave the country?
I can't leave the country, yeah.
Okay, so we're wrapping up, getting close to the end of the show. So what would you like to say, Wayne, to some of the kids, some of those guys that are on the fence or that are riding the gang lifestyle, and if you could reach out to them right now, what would you say to them?
You know, this is what I will say. You know, like, you are a son of God, that you've always been loved and always been called a son, you know, and that you need to know your worth and your dignity as a human being, because you are created by God and for God. And it's like, you don't even know what you're capable of doing, you know, until you say yes to God. God can open the doors and make, because you're meant to be a blessing to others. And I just want to tell like, if these kids in juvenile hall, that you are loved, man. You are loved. You are utterly and completely and madly loved by God. I know that sounds crazy and insane, like love, what is love, you know? But someone who desires your good. And if you just realize who you are, it'll make the difference. Because I know that for me, when I discovered that God has always always loved me and always called me a son, that made the difference. Right. Because I was never a son.
And you know what? Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. So don't let your sin define you. Jesse?
Wow, what an amazing story. Wayne, you're a blessing. I just sat here and just, I was just taking it all in. I just felt grace flowing into my soul by hearing your story.
Yeah.
And you're the classic example of what God can do with a soul that just opens our heart to Christ. And the Lord will just come right in. That's why Jesus, he tells us, you know, come to me, all of you who are, weak and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. That's exactly what Wayne Schroeder's done here. And what a beautiful testimony just to see the story of a soul that's been changed, especially a man. This, because your story and your life is going to have a ripple effect upon many men. You've been listening to Jesus 911. We're all called to be saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Wayne Schroeder's sure not missing the opportunity. Yeah. And for the rest of us, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry's useless. Ruben, take it away.
Yeah, we're gonna ask our listeners to pray for Wayne and see what his vocation is, what God will reveal in his life, what he wants for him, and open some doors for him, whether it be in the secular world or in the religious life. So I really was inspired by the show, Wayne. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. You're my brother in Christ. And
amen.
You know what? Just walk the walk, talk the talk, and fight the good fight, and God will lead the way. You're listening to Jesus 911. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda from the Midwest Command Center. We are 10-7.
Out. Wow.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.